don't think it's any thing strange or new to this congregation that if I were to tell you that leadership exists in many different forms, capacities. It was announced just this morning that there would be an elders and deacons meeting this afternoon at 4:15. And we are very well aware that the elders rule over, they oversee this local congregation, and then they delegate authority and to deacons, Bible class teachers, and others. That's leadership in that type of capacity. Think about our own nation, our own city, our own state. We have governors, we have mayors, we have presidents, we have leaders and such that see to various areas of the country. So leadership exists in many different ways. I'm getting the one moment sign from Logan. Leadership exists in lots of different ways, but there's one that I want to look at tonight, and that's one that we might not normally think of in a leadership capacity, and that's from the individual standpoint. There's individual leaders that exist. What others may or may not do in the realm of leadership is not going to solve the problem of me being a leader like I need to be. We need capable, we need enthusiastic group leaders, no doubt about it. But in a very real sense, there is a great need for self-initiated activity. We're in the business of leading others to Christ. So there are some things that I want to look at with you. We're going to look through several different examples of leadership within the New Testament, and then look and see how that applies for us today. The first I want to mention is Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea stands out as a noble example of personal leadership. We know this individual as the one that after the crucifixion of Christ, Christ's body was there on the cross, and it needed a proper and respectful burial, and Joseph is the one who filled that need. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 60, we see this taking place. Now when the evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a linen cloth, in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. What's interesting about this is that here's an individual that went and asked for the body of Christ. And as far as we know, there was not anyone else behind that. There was not a group that got together and said, hey, we need to make sure that this gets taken place, and then they cast lots and it falls on Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph, it seems, just takes this upon himself. He had the foresight, he had the initiative, he had the determination, he had the courage, he had the sacrifice to get this done. This was not a fulfillment of some assignment by a committee. As far as we know, he did it all by himself. And the thought may have crossed the mind of others, disciples, that this needs to be done, but what we see is Joseph doing it. We either make our thoughts a reality, or we let them perish for lack of initiative. The second one that I'll remind us of is the leadership that we see in Andrew. It was Andrew that directed Peter to Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 41, we read, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. There was not a committee, there was not a group of people that said, hey, we need to gather up some other guys. The opportunity even didn't have to be pointed out to Andrew. He didn't have to say, hey, remember your brother over there. Will you go make sure that he knows? Andrew saw Jesus and he went and did it. And the Great Commission requires personal leadership in winning of souls. As I said, each and every one of us has a responsibility to lead others to Christ, to teach others. And then those that are taught and are obedient, who are baptized, then they go on and do the same thing. It's interesting to think about how the world gets taught the gospel. We might have some misguided idea that the world was taught by just a few disciples. Those apostles, they went out and taught the world. Not really. The gospel was spread by each and every individual. And we'll see that as we go through other examples. The teaching of all the world is too big a task for just a few. It's going to take each and every one of us. And I think that's where we can see the Christians in Jerusalem, where they exerted great leadership in spreading the gospel. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, after the persecution of Stephen, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. They were scattered abroad and they went out teaching. And this took leadership, and these individuals had that. They had the fortitude, they had the initiative to go out and see to it that the gospel was preached. When we look at those individuals, what we see in them is what we read about in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, the prophet says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." Do we understand what Jeremiah is describing? Jeremiah is describing this concept of, I want to hold back. I want to be silent. I don't want to tell anybody. But I can't. I can't because it's so deep ingrained in me. It's a part of me. It's like a burning fire. I can't keep it in. I'm going to go crazy if I bottle it all up and explodes and it's got to get out. And that's what I think we see in these people that were scattered about. When we have the Word of God that is burning in our hearts like a fire, it will compel us to seek the lost. And when the heart is running over, there's no place for it to go except through the eyes or our mouth. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, Jesus says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." These individual Christians in Jerusalem went about. Now, I understand that we favor strong leadership in a congregation, but I don't want us to forget the spirit and the power that took the gospel to most of the world, not all the world, in the first century. It was the result of individuals preaching the gospel. We have some particular individuals that I think we can look to see this illustrated as well. In the New Testament, we read of the couple that showed great personal leadership by instructing a preacher. We know them as Aquila and Priscilla. The preacher is Apollos. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 26, "So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." Again, notice this was not a group effort. This was not something that was a project that was planned by the elders and then executed by these two members. I understand that would be scriptural. That certainly would be acceptable for that to take place. But what we see here is individuals heard this and they went and spoke to him. The work that the couple did, they saw their duty and they did it without consulting flesh and blood. Another example that we see of an individual leading is in the Good Samaritan. He led by example in relieving human suffering. We won't take the time to go over and read all of what we have in Luke chapter 10, but because we're familiar with, I think, enough with the parable or the story of what is about the Good Samaritan. The traveler that was on the road, that he was robbed, he was wounded, he was left half dead. We understand that there was a priest that came by, that he saw the individual and he passed by on the other side. Then the Levite came and he did the same thing. Now we will read beginning at verse 33 of Luke chapter 10. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." What's interesting to think about is that this Samaritan, he was not the leg man of some group of individuals that went across the country looking for people who had been robbed and wounded and left half dead. He was just on his way. He was just making his journey. He came across this individual, he saw him, and he took care of him. I understand that there is a time and there is a place that we can work together, and that takes leadership and cooperation. But what I'm saying is that when we look at the end of the Good Samaritan, we see an individual who was engaged in doing what he could. He obeyed the golden rule without asking anybody about it first. He saw someone that needed something, and he took care of it. The ironic thing about this whole story is that the two men that were recognized as leaders, the priest and the Levite, they went by on the other side. They failed to lead. The man who was supposed to have no leadership qualities led by showing who his neighbor was. And the compassion that would not be stagnant, because that's what made the difference. One had this individual leadership that we're talking about, and two didn't. Pause for just a moment, and are we getting a sense for what we're trying to describe? Are we beginning to see these examples? Let me give you one more before we move into some of the qualities that these people possess. That is in the man Cornelius. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 is the Gentile that led the group of people together to hear the word of God. While he waited for Peter, he had followed the instructions and sent for men to go get Peter and to bring him back. And while he waited for Peter to come, he got busy. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 24, he gathered together his relatives and his close friends. He initiated that gathering together of those individuals so they could hear what Peter was going to proclaim. And it seems that he was very successful. There was a lot that came when we read in Acts chapter 10, at the end of verse 33, "Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded to you by God." Why was there a large group there? Why had these people come to Cornelius' house? Because Cornelius, as an individual, had asked him. One man's individual leadership brought them together. It was not an act that was directed by others. He knew if he needed to hear the words of salvation, so did others. So these are plenty of examples, and there's so many more found within the scriptures that show us the individuality of leading others to Christ and what we can do as individuals for the cause of Christ. We can and should be active. Like we see these, like we see so many others within scriptures, we need to be acting as leaders, as individuals. There's some qualities that I think that we can see. I want to remind you of very quickly as we go through the lesson. some things that can help us be effective in this area of individual leadership. First off, it's just very simple. You need to lead. It may sound very silly. It may sound very, very simple. But I think it's a profound truth that in order to be an effective leader, you simply must lead. There is an old saying that you cannot lead where you do not go. You cannot tell what you do not know. You want to be an effective leader? If you want to lead others to Christ, you need to be active. You need to be doing it. You need to be engaged. The Christian has to have the same spirit of the Apostle Paul, as he said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Be you followers of me, even as I am of Christ." Simply lead. Begin. Get active. Begin doing. As we stated, in order to lead effectively, we must have knowledge. So the effective leader is going to gain knowledge. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." We are commanded to gain knowledge, to gain understanding. We need to be ready at all times to give an answer for the hope that we have. I should know what I believe. You should know what you believe. You should be able to articulate that to others if you want to lead them to Jesus Christ. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. It's been said that zeal without knowledge is dangerous. Just like knowledge without zeal is useless. If we want to be effective leaders, leading others to Christ, we need to work to gain knowledge. Tied very closely with knowledge is wisdom. This helps us to understand the difference between leading and forcing. When we go to Psalm 30, Psalm 30 in verse 37, excuse me, Psalm 30 and we'll start, maybe I missed my dash, it's supposed to be 3 through 7, let me read that. "O Lord, you brought up my soul from the grave, you kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping we may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled." There is a difference between leading and forcing. I give you a couple of illustrations to think about that. My dad always told us growing up, there's lots of sayings that my dad would say. I'm sure that this is not peculiar just to me. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. There's perhaps a more humorous way of illustrating this fact. There's a story that is told of a Boy Scout who was all bruised up. He had the scoutmaster ask him what happened. The boy stated that he was just doing his Boy Scout duty. He was helping an old lady across the street. And he asked him, said, "Well, what happened? How did you get all the bruises?" He said, "She didn't want to go." There's a difference between forcing and leading. And that's where wisdom comes in, having an understanding of the difference. Jesus tells us that if people will not hear, then we need to shake off the dust of our feet. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14. There's no reason for us to try and force them. Had conversations myself, and had received encouragement from other gospel preachers. Someone I was talking to about their view of the Old Testament law, what they saw was that they were still under obligation to the Mosaic law. They still were responsible for those things, that the new law was not theirs. And as we began to talk and we had conversations and studies and such, it became very clear that all that was said in the book of Romans, they didn't want to listen to. Instead of trying to continue those things, there comes a point in time when we just have to shake the dust off our feet. We need to remember this so that we're not guilty of casting our pearls before swine. They'll just trample them and turn after us. Effective leaders use wisdom. Another quality that effective leaders possess is conviction. The psalmist says in Psalm 116 and verse 10, I believed, therefore I spoke. Conviction. That deep-rooted understanding of what is there and a being convicted of that. Great leaders have always been men and women with great convictions. Strong faith makes for strong people. Not only do we need to hold our faith with great conviction, this last is perhaps the most, I don't want to say the most important, but where we will have the most difficulty with, and that is persevering. The effective leader needs to have the trait of perseverance. We might describe it as tough skin. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, Peter says, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Those who are going to lead, they're going to have to be able to take criticism. When you stand up in front of an audience of people, when you are trying to let others tell others about things, you're going to have to be able to take some criticisms. You're going to have to be able to take some pushback. Most of these types of criticisms are going to be destructive and oftentimes be unjust. The greater the leader, the greater the criticisms. It doesn't make you evil for evil people to criticize you. You're going to be criticized whether you are right or wrong. So, like Peter tells us, we need to make sure that we're on the right side. We need to make sure that we're doing what's right. We're preaching the truth and persevere on through. There is no doubt that group leaders are wonderful. God set that up. He established governments. He established elders in a local congregation. But I hope that you see that there is also a need for individual leaders as well. We all, as Christians, each and every one of us, have a responsibility to lead others to Christ. I hope that there's been some things that we have touched on tonight. Some characteristics, some qualities, some traits that we can work on. It starts with being active. Just start leading. And then as we progress through, we can work toward all of these other things, building on each one as we progress so that we can lead as many to Christ as we possibly can. There may be those in our audience this evening that need to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I realize this lesson has not been one that is teaching the simple truths of the gospel, the simple facts of belief, repentance, and confession, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. All the individuals that we looked at in that first list, they were doing what they needed to do. We think about individuals like Aquila and Priscilla. I think in particular about the Christians there in Jerusalem. What had they done? They had obeyed the gospel and then went out and shared it to others. There are those here tonight that need to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the time and the opportunity that you have. If you've not been leading, you've not gotten into the work, maybe you've not been gaining knowledge Maybe you've been trying to force people. Maybe you've slacked off because you've met some resistance. I hope that when you think about these list of individuals and you look at these traits and these qualities, you can take a hard look at ourselves and figure out where we need to make improvements. And if it be of something that the congregation can help you with, we want you to let that desire be made known. If we can help you in any way make your life right with God, we bid you come. As together we stand and sing.
Come to Jesus, He will save you, though your sins as crimson flow. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, do not tarry. Enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner. He will share with you His glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today.
Be seated, please.
I'm not going to take it this morning. Will you please raise your hand this time?
Would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, as we come before you at this time, again, we remember the death of your Son upon the cross. We know that it's only through His sacrifice that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. We pray, Father, at this time that you will bless this loaf and be with those who are partaking at this time, that they may do so remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and how His body was broken for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray. God, have this wonderful day you've given to us, and bless this cup that represents your Son's blood that was shed on the cross for your sins, for our sins. Be the ones about to partake of and do a well-pleasing man in your sight. Christ's name we pray. Amen. Is there anyone that would like to give this time?
appreciate everyone being here tonight. We appreciate the lesson that's been presented to us. Lots of good things to think about for us. If you would, we'll sing first and last verses of number 22 as a closing song. Number 22 in the supplement, first and last verses. And after that, we'll be led in our closing prayer, and then the announcements will follow. Be strong and courageous.